Hello and welcome to
The Heart of Healing Show.
I'm your host, Natasha Slayton.
And I'm your co-host, Sophie Starr.
Join us each week as we explore the magic of alternative healing modalities, what they are, how they work, and the parts that have helped us.
We'll be interviewing world-renowned healers and experts within different fields.
All the while sharing personal stories of pain and perseverance. So tune in to tap into your true potential and learn with us as we dive into a world of possibilities.
Have some laughs.
And some cries. And ultimately, get to the heart of healing. Well, I am incredibly honored to welcome today's guest. She is a master quantum healer, medical intuitive, world-renowned, incredible, incredible being that I've had the pleasure of working with very closely over the past 5+ years. She's been an integral part of my personal healing journey. I welcome to you, Winifred Adams.
Thank you, Natasha and Sophie. Thank you so much for having me on A Heart for Healing. This is so beautiful. This is a real honor. So thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you so much. This is such an honor. I have to point out that all of our technology went haywire when you came into Zoom. And that's because I personally think sometimes our technology can't handle all of this energy. And I already had warned Sophie. I was like, sometimes our nervous systems can't even handle what Winifred can bring to the table. So just, you know, let's brace ourselves. And you just delivered off camera, but we caught it on audio. Such a beautiful message that nobody was expecting.
No.
And I think gave Sophie some very valuable insight. And I really wanted to, we saw firsthand some of what you do, just a little bit of what you do as a medical intuitive and healer. And I would love for you to speak on, for those who don't know or aren't familiar, talk a bit about what medical intuition is to you specifically, and also how you realized it was such a part of you.
Medical intuition is very much misunderstood. First of all, I want to clarify that as the founder of the Global Association of Medical Intuitives, there was a real need for defining that very definition. What is a medical intuitive? And people have combined the idea of art of healing with medical intuition. And really, technically, medical intuitives are those that can scan a biofield accurately. And then you can back that up with diagnostic testing to prove what someone has come up with. The difference is that in this field, the advantage is that we can see, feel beyond machinery. We can tap into an entire biofield that is also all the spirit data of an individual, thereby bringing to the table many more facets of what could be going on multiple levels. So that's very different than healing. And I was born as a super empath, but with the gift for medical intuition, which I honed over time, and with the ability to heal it as well. So people know me more as a healer, but I think it just goes hand in hand. I mean, I can't not see it. I do see it and feel it. And therefore, then I find the solution to aid that situation. So,
wow.
And it is really a science. It's not this woo-woo thing. I just, in my working with you, have realized so much that there is an exact science. Your words, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. It's an accurate science, and the science is able to be diagnostically proven, which is the standard at which we're looking to go to so that we can marry this modality as a formal modality into the future, along with allopathic medicine.
Wow.
And the history of allopathic medicine has taken a turn so that these kinds of biofield sciences have not been included the same way they could have been. But now we're making those changes, and AI will definitely come into the picture as we go forward. But there will never be a time that we don't need this field and or the assistance of this field. So imagine this, for example, Natasha and Sophie, if the electricity went off, if there were no backup generators, what would you do? Wouldn't you want to have people in your community and that are very closely tied to the knowledge of allopathic medicine doctors and nurses and people like that, that have that additional skill set? There is so much advantage to having someone that is honed that skill to a fine science. And that's what I hope to see before my days are over on this planet.
Wow. And quickly, just for listeners who, like me, may not be as quite as familiar, could you define allopathic? What does that term mean? Because I know that was initially, for me, a foreign term.
Well, if I were going to break it down into quantum grammar, it would mean nopathic. But really, it is about the science of medicine, but it's actually the practice of medicine.
And okay. That's more what we know as like Western medicine, is allopathic
yes.
medicine.
Okay.
Versus like a holistic or intuitive medicine would be another path.
Got it. Okay, great.
And how do you think they can go hand in hand? Because I know you don't believe in like one or the other. And I know you also have worked hand in hand with actual allopathic doctors.
Yes. And oftentimes people will bring me their blood work and ask me to look at it. And I say, legally, I can't read your blood work for you. Like, I can't give you your reading of it. But obviously, when you've done it enough, you're familiar with things. But that even is set by the wayside. If you blinded me and said, okay, look at this person, I should be able to go in and find things that equal that blood work. And that's what happens. So I look at a person and basically give them a scan or a reading, if you will, and say to them, go back to your doctor and ask for these tests. Ask for this and this and this and this in your blood work. And they'll go to the doctor and they'll say, can I have da 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 test? And they'll be like, why are you asking for this? And then, of course, it shows up on the blood work and they're like, oh, well, okay. So the need for this is how we can work together to even more accurately assist the person and not guess. Because holistic medicine typically takes into account the entire system. And we are made up of a whole, a system of atomic particles that are broken down into organ systems. And then, of course, like the glandular system or the circulatory system, which encompasses several different types of organs. And each organ has its own frequency and harmonic. And when you are reading someone, you're looking at the frequency, the harmonic, the depth of tissue, everything all at once. It's like a 3D model, actually like a 5D model simultaneously. And you're able to assess through that. And then you can prove it diagnostically as well. So wow. In case the doctors miss something, we might find it. In case we miss something, the doctors might find it. It's really to the benefit of the person that this works together and becomes even greater over time.
Oh, that is so fascinating. Fascinating. And I just love hearing you talk about it. And to the audience and anyone who's maybe skeptical, like, I can speak firsthand and testify that Winifred is the real deal. Sophie now can't do after yeah. what she just experienced. I mean, I've turned so many friends on to the work that Winifred does and moves through her. And even my dogs have gone to Winifred and she's been able to, I mean, we'll talk more about this in the after show because I have a lot of personal things I want to share about my experiences with Winifred in particular. But I will say briefly that one of my dogs was having seizures and went into the vet, and I was supposed to have a session with Winifred, and I was like, oh my gosh, my dog's in the vet. Like, wait, do you work on dogs? And long story short, I'll get into that in the after show. But she was able to find that my dog had parasites, and that's what was causing the seizures, and the vet didn't even know to test for parasites. They weren't too happy about the idea that I was talking to a medical intuitive and suggesting what tests, but then they did test for parasites, and it was confirmed.
Ooh.
And ever since I've been doing treatments that Winifred suggested, his seizures have stopped. So,
wow.
Yeah, and that's not to say that every dog who's having seizures has parasites, by the way, so this is a very like specific situation. Everyone, every animal, every being is a snowflake, but well, it was a really cool experience.
And like you're saying, you know, and back to Winifred's point too, how it all can work in tandem and holistically, because Winifred was able to deliver this information and then the traditional veterinarian could confirm the information.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like how everything can work in synergy. And absolutely. I think that's really, really cool and fascinating.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, we don't have to go back too far, but with this medical intuition, like, when did you first feel this, that you had maybe an inclination towards this type of work? Did you always want to do this type of work? What was the beginning for you?
No, actually, I never wanted to do this type of work. Wow. I'll be honest with you. I just wanted to sing. I wanted to sing my whole life. And that's pretty much how I'd spend my time. However, I didn't know at a young age that when I went up to somebody and could naturally scan them, I didn't know I was doing that, number one. And number two, I would put my hand on them where they hurt or where they were having trouble. And I would keep it there until the pain dissipated. And they would say, how did you know that I had that? Or how did you know I was having this situation? And I didn't know that I knew. In fact, what I didn't know is that everybody else didn't do that. I had to kind of over time learn that, for example, this was a skill set. In fact, I didn't even call myself a medical intuitive until someone insisted about 10, 12 years into my career that you are this and you need to call yourself this. And I swear to you, I wouldn't call myself anything in the world because I like to be sort of this silent energy surgeon, if you will. And I don't enjoy carrying the model names, but it seems necessary that we need to stand up and identify this now and create the bioscience that allows it to come into joinder with the medical field. And I think there's quite a bit of openness today where there wasn't, say, when I began my career. There's a lot more trust in the fact that energy medicine is real. And whether it's the reading of a field that can be proven or it's quantum healing.
Wow.
Now, when we talk about medical intuition, because in all of the work we've done together, I know that it's not all about the physical body, although the mind, spirit, body, they're all connected, of course. But we work specifically on a lot of emotions as well, which can be stored in the body as physical ailments. But would you say that those, that the spiritual and emotional ailments are also connected to the medical intuition? Or would you say that's another skill set?
All things are seen with the medical intuition, if you want to look at it that way. It looks at the entire field, and it should be able to identify the emotional component that sits behind the actual physical anomaly. So wherever there's an energy disturbance, it's usually first caused by an emotional construct. Like you have an emotional issue that gets logged. If you have a habitual emotional issue, it then is a precursor to a situation or an illness. Mm-hmm. And your system begins to break down. The integrity of your system breaks down until now you have a symptom and an organ tries to keep correcting that. When that organ gets tired, then it goes to the next organ to try and take the brunt of that. So we can identify, for example, coming sight unseen, hey, where is the blinking light? Where's the priority right now? Then we go backwards and say, okay, so was this unto itself and isolated, or was there another organ system involved in this? And how did that come about? So my skill set is really going back in and digging deep for where this originated from and being able to identify very clearly that origin so we can work on healing the origin, and then the biology releases its tension and is able to heal much quicker.
Wow.
Isn't that just...
You bring up a great point that I think as time continues on, you know, the medical field, the traditional allopathic, the new term I learned, is more open to this type of work. I mean, I'm thinking particularly of a book I read recently called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's about how, all about what you're talking about, how the body does literally physically, you know, store all of these traumas. And we're able to now detect some of that through traditional peer-reviewed research, which is what people who are more traditionally minded want to see. And so I think it's really powerful for this side. It's like a two-sided coin, right? So the other face of this side of the work that can open more people up to it once the research is there. And it sounds like it already is from what you're saying.
We're working on it. We're working on that research now. And the case histories and things are being compiled. And, you know, when I began my career, Louise L. Hay was our super champion, right? Like Louise L. Hay had it going on with all her books, You Can Heal Your Life. And then my favorite one at the time when I was learning that I even had this skill set. I mean, I just walked it. I was it, but I didn't know I could apply it. And so Feelings Buried Alive was one of the greatest books ever. And that speaks to this very thing that you don't get rid of it. So people that poo-poo tapping and other things and roll their eyes at modalities that seem like, oh, they're passé now. There's nothing that's passé that works. That's the best way I can say it. Mm. You have a modality that works. You don't give it up because it's not cool anymore. You use it accurately and you continue to use it. So you become more skilled at it the more you dedicate your focus to it.
One of the biggest things I've learned in working with you is that, from my perspective, there is not a single thing you cannot heal. If you are willing to go through the work and sit there, I mean, I guess you could argue maybe from a talking about karmically speaking, maybe certain things can't be healed in the way that you want them to be, but they'll probably be healed in the way you need them to be if you do the work. But I say all this to say, because when I first went to see you, I was gifted a session by a friend right after my mom passed. And so I was ready and willing. I've always been open, but I was ready and willing to do anything, see anyone just to feel better. And I really trusted this friend. I went in to see you, did not know what to expect. And you were like, so did, you know, your friend tell you what I do? And I was like, no, not really. I just, I have all this grief and all these issues. And you told me that you also did the medical intuition stuff. And we did a very comprehensive session. And I was immediately blown away. And I can say it's hard to remember where I was or even where I was like the last session we had, because every session is so profound and we move so much energy. I know that my nervous system changes. I know that my organs change. I know that my perspectives change. And I know that my cellular makeup, like everything's changing. And so it's hard for me to even remember where I might have been when I was hurting so much. And I know there's always layers, but I'm like trying to get to a point. But I'm wondering, with people that may not necessarily have the means or a connection to a Winifred or a medical intuitive or someone who's a really strong healer, or have any, not even know where to go with something like that. Like, where can someone start if they just feel really lost or feel like there's absolutely no way I can heal this emotional trauma or this memory or whatever I'm feeling right now, or this physical ailment or this relationship that I have? Where can people start?
Well, you know, I'm like the self-appointed queen of tapping. I love tapping because I can get into any system and do everything with it, and have done just about everything with it, from tumor shrinking under the nose of doctors in the hospital that got to see that firsthand, and, you know, healing equally. So we have really great modalities that are available to the world today that we're not apologetic for anymore. So breath work is really great, and there's lots of that. You can go online and find breath work. Tapping, there's lots of that. Tapping's a great way because you can take that with you wherever you go. You can do that on the fly, on the spot, wherever you are, privately, publicly, and it's free. You can, now you may not get to the depth of what you're looking for the same way, and you might need help because the ego will block what it is that you need to heal, hence you carrying it with you for a long period of time. But if you use the tapping and just begin somewhere, it will truly eliminate and take the edge off. So whether you do it here on your clavicle bone, whether you did it on your chin, whether you're going to put your wrists together and do it this way, you just repeat what you feel. So if you're feeling traumatized, you could say, feeling traumatized, and just say it, you know, for minutes on end until you're no longer traumatized, and it will change the chemistry.
That's
so.
And is it true that for the wrists, it's more like heavy, super deeply rooted trauma stuff, and then the chest is more general?
Yeah.
I know it changes.
Well, I'll say this. This is a really good point, because how I use medical intuition is I move through these points as I see the body change in real time. It's a live experience. It is not a canned experience where we use this for everybody and we use that for everybody, with the exception of certain points have more propensity towards different things.
Okay.
So the wrists are more prone to, say, traumatic, deep-seated emotional experiences where, yes, these are kind of more general, but I move around, as you know, quickly with whatever's needed, because the biofield of someone is literally changing in the moment as we're doing it. And therefore it requires maybe a different spot, or when we hit a different spot, it now affects different organs. It affects a different pattern. And that's a better way to say it. Pattern that's set up in the body where all this is connected.
Okay. That makes sense. And I'm curious, just because I know that Natasha is also so intuitive. We just spoke with a medium, and I'm like, when I try to like see things, I get crickets. Like, I can't see energy. I get none of it. So I'm so fascinated when you're talking about, you see, you know, like a readout, you know, you can see the pain. Like what are you viscerally experiencing? Like what is it looking like? Is it different for every person? I'm so fascinated because I don't have this ability.
Okay. Well, that's a really great question, Sophie. And Natasha has put in a lot of time and work to honing her skill of intuition. So, you know, kudos to her, because she really gets the experience of it after a lot of time put in. And that will automatically happen for people. Like, your world will open to you like a blooming flower when you sit down and truly do your work. And so that's available to all peoples. That will happen for all peoples, no matter what. Now, to answer your question, like, for example, is as you two sit there, I see, feel things, right?
Uh-oh.
And so I can't help that. I can't turn it off, but I just get used to that. And it's not something that I step into people's fields looking to do. It's almost like you're broadcasting that, and I'm picking up what you're broadcasting.
Okay.
And so when I look at a system, when I'm looking at a person, I'm able then to look at that. Now, if I dial in on it, now I'm going to see, it's almost like getting closer to something, and you see more of what that is up close, right? And then if you step back and zoom back a little, you can see all the different things that are happening. So I see colors, I see organs. If I'm deep inside the bloodstream, I can see the blood, I can see the lymph fluid, I can see whatever it is that we're looking at. And I want to say it this way. This is a better way, because I'm going to just put out there fair and square. I believe in God 1000%. Okay. So I'm just going to launch that out there to the world. This is not woo woo. This is God given. And I'm not the doer in this. When this happens, I am the interpreter, and I've been given the gift and the opportunity to be alongside God, to look in someone and interpret that, which is a huge responsibility, especially if someone's suffering on the other end.
Yeah.
And so I am shown kind of what needs to be shown at that time as well. And where I'm entrusted to see that show up, I basically interpret that and show you. And when I say the download begins, here comes the download message for you. And I see your organ systems. I can see where there may be an issue. And then if I stay on that long enough, I can go deeper into it.
Okay. Wow.
And so do you ever turn it off completely, or no? You just have modes of like turning it up.
Well, I suppose if I were kissing somebody, I wouldn't be thinking about it. But you never know. That could
come in handy.
Wait a minute. So seriously, it is not something I can turn off. In fact, the people that are along with me in terms of healing, I never turn off from them.
Mm.
They're tied to me near and far, and I'm always focusing on them. And it comes in front of me when they have something upcoming or they really need something, and that I'll get pinged on that, but they never leave me. They never, you know,
wow.
They're there. Unless you say, I don't want to work anymore, goodbye, whatever, then that cord gets cut naturally.
Sure.
But if they're just in the ethers and we've done this and then they're out there, they're always attached, if you will.
I always feel you. I always feel your love and support. I hear your voice in my head. I'm like trying to make decisions and Winifred's like steering me. I can feel her spirit. And sometimes I want to text or call her and be like, do you know that you sent me this message? Like, were we both there fully?
That happens a lot, actually. And that is the beauty of where we're headed. You know, we're so archaic in this world right now. And we're going to a place where just thinking it and you're there. And telepathy is kind of, you know, medical intuition is the beginning of telepathy, if you want to say it that way. And everyone wants to use that as a power trip, but I really caution that because none of this is a power trip when done correctly. It's a responsibility. And to carry that as a sincere responsibility, because the weight of what you say could impact a life.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, do you ever, this might be revealing some selfishness that I have, but do you ever get exhausted by that? Do you ever just think, oh my gosh, I don't know, figure it out. You just want to take a break.
Oh yes. Yes. Hugs are welcome on a frequent basis. That's what people say. What do you do for you? That's all I need. I just need a really good hug now and then. And truthfully, yes, I get very tired. The hardest things that I've participated in are people's real physical surgeries.
Oh, wow.
The surgeries in the hospitals and things where I'm holding weight inside the body and outside the body at the same time the surgery is going on. That's exhausting. Some healers would say, oh, well, then you're not doing it right because it should all be done by spirit and you shouldn't feel anything. And that's not the way I experience it. I can just say it that way because I'm really physically in it and holding, it's like being a director of the energy flow sometimes, right? So and I'll tell you what's most exhausting to answer your question. When people resist, that is really hard to get through their resistance because their judgment is in the way of the flow of light that's coming.
Okay.
And they won't let it in. And so it takes eternal patience sometimes, but that can get tiring when it's many people like that. So I'm a little more choosy today in what I do and with whom.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because there's been a lot of people in the past with you that have worked with you for a set time and then sort of had an ego trip, their egos tripped them up, and then that's kind of backfired onto your energy field, right? I don't know if that's the right terminology.
Yes, and that's something that you have to take into account. See, a lot of people are looking for the ooh of, how do you know that? How do you know these things? And that becomes a power trip when it's not meant to be any power at all. It's merely a discovery. And if you're there sincerely to receive, then you will get the benefit of that, you know, receptivity.
Really. Sure.
And if you're there to take, you're going to come up against a wall. And I'll tell you, God doesn't really like that. It's not cool. So don't waste the time.
Yeah.
We keep using the word fascinating too, because it's like the mind is like, this is so fascinating.
Yeah.
But I just remember you talking about the word fascinating and how a spirit is not trying to be fascinating. And I would like for you to elaborate a little bit on that if you could, because I think it's such a valuable concept.
Sure, sure. Well, the ego construct, which most people en masse don't understand really, it's you have your spirit, and your spirit is, let's say, in your court to guide your life, to keep you healthy, to steer you from, you know, go right, go left, do this. How in tune you are to your spirit is what you're seeking sincerely. Not, I know this, I'm getting this, I know this. It's like, that's all ego stuff. When you're truly in the sweetness of spirit, all you do is listen. It's quiet. And people get in the way of receiving that and those messages. They end up kind of mentally speaking over that, because they allow their ego mind to get in the way. So most people truly don't know the difference between who's speaking. Is this the ego construct that's in a way built in to protect you in the beginning, but people take it too far and then they start to pattern habits of the ego. The ego then allows you to do things that maybe aren't in your best interest. And since you don't listen to your spirit enough, you tune it out. And now you go down a road that after years of X, you now have these issues or this problem or whatever. So the ego can get in the way and block the incoming message of people's spirit.
Wow. I forgot like how much these conversations, like I have all these notes, but just speaking to Winifred, everything always unfolds the way it's supposed to. And every single question and answer keeps leading me to like what my next thought was. But I feel like you had one. So before I cut you off.
Well, no. I mean, I was just going to say, as you're talking about the ego, to me, I'm getting, because I'm very connected to this world, but the world of addiction. And so I'm wondering, is there in your work that you do, I'm seeing a connection. So is there a connection to be made between like real world implications of addiction and the ego? Are they connected or is that related to something else?
Sure. Anything that is not of the spirit is not of the spirit. It's just very simple. The spirit is
okay.
The guiding force of all things, and it's always altruistic.
Okay.
Anything that would have you harm your own body or harm another's field or body or stand in the way of another's field of energy is always going to be ego. It's just that simple. It's like carbohydrate, protein, right? So here it is. It's like your spirit is your protein. It's the long-lasting energy forever. And your ego is like the quick burn carbohydrate that takes something and flames it up. And now you have to clean that up.
Okay.
So addiction is honestly, in a spirit sense, on the spirit side, addiction is allowing yourself to be influenced by lower frequency energy fields. There is always somebody hanging around someone that's an addict.
Sure.
Spiritually. There's always a spirit or something. But we say addiction is a chemical anomaly or a chemical situation within a person. And it's difficult for them to overcome the chemistry. And that's very true. But it's also difficult for people to overcome their own thinking chemistry.
Oh.
The same. So
absolutely.
We all are addicted to something. And as you hone off into the more pure frequencies and stay in spirit, now you have an opportunity to hear your spirit more. And it's easier to get over the addiction or the addiction habitual process.
Okay. That makes sense. So the thought patterns that can lead to the physical actions, you know, can be overcome the more we listen to the spiritual side, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll add that through my work with Winifred, I am 4.5 years sober.
Amazing.
And before that, it was just incredibly hard to overcome. It was just my ego fighting, resisting. And now it just feels like such a natural no-brainer to me.
Wow.
And such a part of me. It's taken a lot of work. And I'm still driving out some of that darkness that I brought in through those mistakes, or not mistakes, through those decisions, and working to actively bring in more light and heal my system day by day, because I still feel, you know, a little bit of the remnants of that energy that
Absolutely.
Was in my system.
Well, it's like an energy field will have a signature. Just like if you have a parasite in your body, it gives off a frequency radiation, and the frequency radiation begets more of the same frequency. So if you let it get out of hand, it sort of takes over. And even if you have that residual and you've overcome it, if there's any frequency left in there that is a little bit of that vibration, it's still something that needs to be worked on and addressed. And that then, it's what I call lawn mowing in my field. You continually mow the lawn. Because everybody says, oh, I got this. No problem. I'm good. I got this. And then you realize there's a long mountain that never ends.
I always call it like peeling back the layers of an onion. But I guess you can eventually get to the middle of an onion. So maybe like a never ending
onion.
Theoretical onion.
The eternal onion.
The eternal onion is constantly peeling back the layers. I wanted to know. I feel like I had like a bunch more questions, and I'm sure I do. I could ask you questions forever, but I wanted to know like what you personally do for your spiritual upkeep. I know you meditate so much. But what's your sort of routine like?
Well, my routine is dictated by what I need to do in a day. And it is, after 20 some years of working at this diligently and really digging deep for what it is that I myself have had to work on, because no one's exempt from the game. It is something that I've kind of come into having it as a default. Okay. So after you do enough work, after you put in your 10,000 hours to something, there becomes an ease in that. You don't have to work as hard because you've kind of done the hard labor. And so now it's more of not undoing things, but rather holding the space and doing it better. So if I focus, for example, on being very conscious when I'm walking, being very present when I'm going into a store and I'm speaking to someone, I'm always registering a field, and I'm working on myself in that how I show up to other people also is registering. So I'm very conscious of that. It's actually something that I work at daily. And also taking anything that seems like it might be in the way and clearing the space and seeing that even quicker and saying, oh, let's just settle this energy. Let's just settle this space. And then stopping and taking time out, setting the energy down, and then beginning again. Like, that's a really important thing, especially today with the way the energies are, to purposefully take time out to stop in the middle of something and just say, hold it, time out. Let's just settle right here, right now. And then we'll begin again. And you begin with a better energy field each time. So
you did that at the beginning of this episode when our technology was going haywire, just as a very small example of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you reset the tone.
That's what I'm saying, is it becomes automatic, the things that you're learning to do. So I started out with heavy journaling and heavy mind mapping and heavy tapping and heavy meditation and the listening to the sound current and the light and all that kind of thing. And so going into that extensively and continually learning, in other words, not mental knowledge, but learning true self with spirit, taking the layers off of ego and moving that out of the way, because we don't always see what we bring to the table, right? So that's why we have to be loving and patient with one another, because people are going through where they're caught in this conundrum of world, 3D world for now. So if they're consciously choosing to work it out, we have to give them room to do that. And people need that patience right now. They need that love. So I think right now, to answer your question, showing up as patient, as loving, and carrying the frequency that I'm consciously holding is the key, is lending love to the world through that, is opening the open-hearted space and moving into that.
Wow.
And in fact, I have my pin on. See my
open-hearted. Oh, beautiful.
So
I have to be honest, because I'm sure, again, I know Natasha's been working with you for so long and probably is so familiar with the healing capabilities that you have, but I even have this sense over Zoom in this moment, like I feel almost naked, like you can see what's happening.
In a vulnerable way?
Yeah, in a vulnerable way. And it's a little, as I've been sitting here, it was a little bit uncomfortable at first. I almost felt like you had like x-ray goggles. And now I'm more comfortable. And I just will say, you know, as someone who's new to this and isn't sure, and for any of the listeners out there, I definitely am picking up on that sense that like, yeah, like something's happening that I'm not used to experiencing, and it feels different, but it feels exciting. And I just wanted to throw that out there for anybody else who might be unfamiliar with this world that might be listening, that there is something to this. And briefly, because I would love to dive into this more with both of you, I'm new to tapping as well. And I'll be honest, when Natasha was telling me about it at first, I was very polite, but I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. And what am I going to do? Sit in my room and just poke myself? I'm not doing this. And I recently just started doing it for an issue I was having, had so many revelations. I couldn't believe.
Oh, wait, tell her the story.
Should I tell the story?
Sure.
Or okay.
Well,
so,
no, not if you don't want to.
No, I don't mind telling. So I have this issue with the right side of my face is very different than the left side of my face. And it's my jaw. And so Natasha was staring at me here in the studio and she was like, it almost looks swollen, like there's a muscular issue, like you grind your teeth. And I said, I do grind
on your right side specifically.
I do grind them on my right side. My dentist told me this. So immediately I'm like now kind of blown away. And she's like, you should try tapping into your jaw and just seeing what happens. So again, I'm kind of like, huh. And so I go to my hotel, I'm tapping into my jaw. And I'm realizing I had a really difficult conversation with a family member right before I started tapping. And I was very angry, but I didn't say anything in that moment. I just swallowed it. And as I'm tapping, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I have this tension in my jaw and I'm not releasing it in the moment. And I think what I need to do is in that moment, speak up for myself instead of swallowing it because it's getting stuck in my jaw. But because I still wanted to have my pity party, I called my sister who I knew would commiserate with me. I knew. And I said, blah, blah, blah said this. They're so annoying. And you know what my sister said to me? And she's never said this in my life. I promise you, I would not be making this up. She says, you know what I've been doing with that person is in that moment telling them that they made me upset. And they made me angry, confirming the message that I felt like I received through the tapping. I'm like, you know what? It works. I've tapped every night since. And I feel like my jaw's releasing. So anyway, that's my tapping story. And I promise I was a true skeptic. And just in the last 4 days, I really feel like it's working. So I feel like I'm talking on and on now. But so you can continue on. But that's just for the skeptics out there. I feel you. But also, I'm opening up to this, and I'm really seeing something. So it's been amazing.
That's beautiful. That's testimony to a shift of energy, and it just gives you more affirmation that what you're doing is taking you on the right path toward correction.
Yeah.
And in the moment, right?
Absolutely, in the moment. So I'm curious about experiences. Did you? I mean,
Can I just say I have to say this in the middle of this? You need to like swish with black walnut or something. You need to get your that out of your gum line and let your body you would do well with a parasite cleanse, let's say, and that would help your pancreatic tail as well.
I'll show you which one
blood
to get.
Sugar stuff.
Parasite cleanse, you said,
like the Paracleanse from mm-hmm. Nature Sunshine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the that would help your pancreas too, because you harbor a lot of energy in your pancreas at times. So
really?
It's kind of stuffed in there and you want to be able to express more, I think.
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. My pancreas. Okay. I'm going to black walnut parasite cleanse. I'm going to have Natasha help me and we'll document yeah. all of this. So if anybody's curious about my journey, then we'll have that. Thank you for that.
What is
You're welcome.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
What is the pancreas known for holding specifically? Or is it always different? You know how like the liver is like very known for holding anger and the kidneys fear?
Sweetness. Your perception of sweetness, obviously. Blood sugar, sweetness. And the blood sugar being tied to how you process in function. Your whole body is tied to that. And if that's out of balance, you're out of balance, right? So all your organs function differently. But your pancreas, the main pancreas does one thing, and the pancreatic tail kind of has its own thing. But if you're experiencing blood sugar issues, it's something that first emotionally should be looked at in terms of how you view the world. How do you see your world? Really, when you examine your thoughts and you see your thought patterns, are you seeing it as a beautiful, sunny world, or is it a little judgmental with a little bit of bitterness undertone to that? And you'll see that with people that are predisposed to things. So you don't need to have diabetes. You don't need to have certain things that take place. And that's really been what I've stood on all of my careers, because I started out like this crazy warrior without enough tools. Like, no, that just doesn't need to happen. So let's fix this. So we're
going to
fix it.
Absolutely. And I feel like people probably get to that point. I'm curious with your practice. I mean, do you get a lot of individuals who maybe have been on a healing journey for quite some time to no avail? And they're like, I don't know. I mean, I know that's kind of Natasha's story with you. She was just experiencing this emotional grief that was too overwhelming. And I'm imagining people with physical ailments too. Maybe they've just never healed and they come to you saying, what can be done?
Yes, that's true. And we like to think about it in terms of the specifics of a modality or modalities applied. But the truth is, it's about frequency and radiation. So the people that are to come to me generally line up with my frequency and radiation, and that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for that flow through of the radiation that comes along. And then the modalities are the secondary portion of that.
Okay.
What people talk about on the outside are the modalities, but that's not really what's happening. Mm-hmm. What's happening is the frequency is what they seek, and they're out of balance in their frequency, and they're looking to balance the frequency. And so that's kind of really the true subset behind this.
The true heart of healing, would you say?
Yes.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Chills. I feel like a lot of people, and myself included, I feel this way because you've told me this, that a lot of us will function and run on adrenaline where we're actually supposed to be settled in our spirit and live and work through that vibration. Can you speak a little bit to that and also how we can settle our spirits more often and come from that place?
Absolutely. We have been so conditioned to run on adrenaline, and with our busy worlds, the way we live our lives, the fact that we don't put spirit first as a culture, we put it last, that has us going on empty. And the only way to stay going after being on empty, after you use up your glandular energy field, your normal, regular electrical frequency based on minerals, you are then, and your spirit, of course, you are then forcing your body to try and keep going, and you're using adrenaline. And we become addicted to adrenaline in so many different ways.
Yep.
And I've seen it all throughout my work. The hardest thing to overcome for everybody is their addiction to adrenaline, first up. Because before you even have an adrenaline response, it's actually a thought that's out there. And there's a trigger to the thought that's out there before that hits your body. And eventually you become trained to see and notice in yourself when this is happening so that you can learn to quell that and you stop it. So when we do the tapping, what we're doing is we're cutting the brainwave where that chemistry comes along, and we're stopping that pattern that allows you to just default to adrenaline. So when people come to the quantum healing meditations, some will say, I can't stay awake. I fall asleep through all of it.
Me.
That's because wow. They're on adrenaline.
Ah.
And the adrenaline just now shuts off because the energy field is so overwhelming to them. They don't stay awake. Okay. But when you train yourself enough and you come down gently off of adrenaline over time, and you learn to default to your true glandular energy, now you don't fall asleep.
Okay.
Now you're conscious and you're awake and you're in it and you're doing it. You're there, present. So our goal is to be present. And the adrenaline that's coming along is generally a pattern. So you really have to look at your life. How am I living my life? How am I thinking? That's number one. How am I thinking? How am I executing my life? What patterns and habits do I have? And from that, how am I allowing myself to be undisciplined? So I'm a stickler for discipline, and people know it. And they say I'm tough. But if I don't do that, I mean, I've been in those life and death situations with people. Their life is on the line. We have to figure this out. So how do you overcome that? And technically speaking, you have to override that. And so adrenaline is something you have to slowly train yourself off of. And the tapping helps, breathwork helps, meditation, yoga, whatever begins to quiet you so that you are not defaulting to that trigger.
Okay. That makes sense. And I like how it ties back to the thinking too, those thought patterns, because what I'm kind of getting is that it's the emotional and thought patterns behind. I mean, they're just expressing themselves through the physical ailments, but it's really the emotional world and the thought world. And it's almost like if you don't heal that, what I'm getting from you, if you don't heal that, you'll just go around on this carousel of physical ailments like that keep popping up like whack-a-mole. Like this one will go away, but here comes another one.
It's so true. It's like totally whack-a-mole. It's
I just got this. Just, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just got this image, though, of when we think of people that are born with certain ailments. Mm. And then you've got to think of maybe a deeper karma or past life type of thing, because you might just be like, oh, I don't have those emotions. Like, I don't.
You know, I did an autism summit a couple of years ago, and I went to the home of the woman putting it on, and we were taping a segment, and her autistic son, who doesn't speak, came down and came over to me and sat on my lap when she had gotten up to go do something and we took a break. So he came and sat on my lap, and I said to him, I said something like, you know, you are really seen. And I said something like about his condition, and he spoke out loud, and his mother was coming down the stairs and she almost fell down the stairs. She said, oh my God, he doesn't speak. And he said, I am the master.
Oh, I have full body chills.
What?
And I was like, well, there you have it. That about explains it. So in case you don't know what's going on, just stay in that. You don't know what's going on and just carry on.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Have you ever been in a situation where you're doing some work, but you don't really know what's going on, but you're just continuing on, and then later on it makes sense? Or...
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point, Sophie, because the truth is, when you're into something that's very heavy and very serious, you have to keep stepping out of the way. You don't really know what's going on. And I'd say that position is more often than not. It's not that I don't see what's typically going on, but you have to continue to take the position, I don't know what's going on here, so that you're out of the way. And what can come through is going to come through for those people. That's
beautiful.
The key to this, really, because the getting in the way and being fascinated with what you know is going on is now blocking whatever's going on.
Sure.
Now you're in the way. And so I've had those situations in deep cases where it's really hard and people are resisting, and they're bucking me.
Mm.
And so sometimes, energetically speaking, we've had some situations where they just kind of get knocked out. They just get really sleepy all of a sudden and go to sleep, and then they're out of the way.
Night, night.
It's funny how spirit works.
Wow.
And so that happened one time when I was in an ICU with a baby, and the baby was suffering tremendously with kind of an encephalitis, and the grandparent was there tapping on the kid's head like this. And I'm like, no. I walked up and I took her hand. I'm like, please don't do that.
Mm.
Like, that hurts me. Don't do that. And she's thinking that's going to help. Well, it's helping her maybe, but it's not helping the child that's suffering. So it was chaos. It was bedlam in this room. And I mean, like, child screaming, this was getting nowhere. So I sat down in the nursing chair and I did what I did at the beginning of the session. And I just dropped in and pulled all the energy in the room down into a space, and everybody fell asleep. Then I could get up and work on the baby.
Oh.
The nurse came in. She's like, I don't know what's going on in here, but whatever it is, you just keep doing that.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm immediately thinking I would love to bring you to the shelters. I'm involved in animal rescue work, and you can just like make all these dogs calm down that want to bite and want to. Yeah, that's incredible.
I just want to bring Winifred everywhere.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, I do in my mind.
Oh,
I do. Wow. Energetically. Is there anything else that you feel should be relayed right now? Any message for the times, the now space? Any tips on, I know everyone's in their own process and stage of healing journey and spiritual evolution, but is there one thing that maybe everyone could work on, or one message?
Well, to say one message is
that was pigeonholing. Any messages?
This is a one-room schoolhouse, after all. So, I would say that being patient is what I'm feeling the most to say to you. Being patient with people and giving space. Give space to yourself. Give space to them. This may be a time to feel like you are asserting yourself in some way to have your voice heard. But you can do that from a loving position, and you can do that. More gets done in space given than tension. So like Gandhi, he sat quietly. And again, like that hospital room, the energy of India came down in, right? And that's a lot to hold. And he pulled that in and kind of neutralized the energy, similar to what Christ had done back in the day. Mm. And now we have an opportunity at this point in time to either stand, if you will, for your rights. And you can stand, but how you stand really matters. So just know, for those that are more into the meditative process, your true focus and your intention to stand in a loving, spatial way greatly helps. It just greatly helps what's happening. And everybody can lend to that from wherever they are. So I think intending sweetness, helping one another with patience, that's necessary now.
Wow.
Thank you for that message.
Thank you, Winifred.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful time being here with you.
Oh my gosh. Oh. I'm so honored. I'm going to, like, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to just cry happy tears.
Yes, same. I don't know about anybody else, but I got so much out of speaking with you and picking your brain for the time we've had together. And thank you so much. I can't wait to learn more about what it is that you do in this whole world.
I'm so happy to share you with everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, Sophie. This has been a real treat, and to get to express, because I'm usually in it. I'm usually doing the work, and I'm in and under, but now it's time to come out and speak. And
yes.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Where can people find you whether to work with you or to follow along on everything you're doing and to learn more?
Well, my business is makinglifebrighter.com. The quickest way to reach me is makinglifebrighter@yahoo.com. So if you want an appointment, you can go to makinglifebrighter@yahoo.com. You can find Making Life Brighter on Facebook, but I am not on there as much as I'd like to be right now, because I'm kind of in the thick of it. I'm working on courses. I'm working on things that are upcoming for people. There will soon be a special structure where people can get my courses and all that. But if you want to get on the mailing list, go to makinglifebrighter@yahoo.com.
Wonderful.
Incredible. And we'll link all of your socials and contact information on our platforms as well.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Winifred.
Go jolly, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Talk soon.
Bye.